Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Jamuna Thiro Vannachari.
Jamuna Thiro Vannachari.
Jayavada Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dari.
Jaya Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dari.
Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana.
Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana.
Jamuna Thira Vannachari.
Jamuna Thira
God. So we're what are we studying here?
Krishna.
Okay.
lotus
feet of Krishna. Padapadma. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary of God. Yeah. And so last Sunday we had this overview of all 12 cantos like that. And the first two are Krishna's lotus feet, 3 and 4 are his thighs, 5 is his navel. And it goes up like that to 10th canto. And so, you go on studying again and again and again and again, first two cantos repeatedly, right? So our Anjana Sudha Academy is supporting this, Padapadma program. And we're starting Janmashtami, and then going until Gaurapurnima, which is 28 weeks. And how many chapters in the first canto? 18 or 19? Huh? 19. But the preface, the introduction is how many pages about? The introduction. No, less than that. It's about 35 or 40 pages. So it's like a chapter. So 20 chapters in the first canto. Second canto?
10 chapters.
Yes, 30 chapters. So it's very natural. Just take it, one chapter a week. I just was on the phone to Nitai Gaur Sundar Das, Dr. Ravi Prakash Singh. When you're at his house and you say Dr. Singh at a party, about 5 people turn their heads. So he's a psychiatrist. And they also have a group there in Tennessee. But it's been just too fast for them. I told them, keep up with the pace, but do it lighter. Just read translations, a few texts like that. But better just to stay with the pace, because then we can all, Anjana Sudha Academy, we can keep together. The next year you can plan more time. You can go to it deeper, like that. Become more familiar with it. Take your notes from the previous year like that. So that's our suggestion. If you want to make it a regular annual thing, and I think we're going to be doing that. Anjana Sudha Academy. Of course, we have our web page. What's our web page address?
Jayaram.
Okay, this is worth 40 points.
Jayaram or not?
U.S.
No, U.S. Not the U.S.
Yeah, because we're Americans. Udama Shloka. I guess there's, why not? Okay, Hanuman. Jayaram's out of U.S. Yeah. And if you go to the archives, you can find files. Yeah. So I just updated the chapter study guides for 16 to 19, Canto 1. So what is that? It's a unit. What's happening in those chapters? Sudha's talking to the sages in the beginning, and they say, what's the essence of all religion? What's the best scripture? And he says, Srimad Bhagavatam. So then they say, well, why did Vyasadeva write it? Why did he take so much time? He already produced all the Vedas. Why did his son Sukadeva Goswami study it? He was a liberated soul. So then he explains in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, explains his whole history of Vyasadeva meeting Narada Muni, and then he told him, you should do this. Then after that, everything else in the whole chapter is the background that Vyasadeva was considering, everything in the canto. He has to do this. His guru leaves. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write Srimad Bhagavatam. But what's the whole background? Well, Maharaj Parikshit's going to hear it. Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak it. Maharaj Parikshit was saved from the Brahmastra. Dronacharya was chastised. And then all these events right after, directly after the Battle of Kurukshetra, in 4 or 5 chapters. Drona punished, son of Drona punished, Ashvatthama, prayers by Queen Kunti, don't leave. Maharaj Parikshit saved, and then Kunti's saying, don't leave, stay with us. Okay, a little while longer. And then disappearance of Bhishma, like that. Okay, finished. Then Krishna, he goes to Dwarka, everything's very nice, lots of tennis games, picnics. Maharaj Parikshit's born, you have heir to the dynasty. Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling the whole country, beautiful purport. So it's like Vaikuntha, about 4 or 5 chapters. But then many years later, then Vidura comes back, tells Dhritarashtra, time to go. Krishna departs, time to go. Pandavas depart, time to go. Okay. And now we're ready for Maharaj Parikshit meets
Kali.
Age of Kali. And then?
Kars.
Huh?
Kars.
Sukadeva Goswami. Yeah. And then we're ready to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. What's the situation? What's the class? After the class, what's Maharaj Parikshit going to do? What, the Sunday feast?
After hearing the Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
He narrates the Srimad, right?
Huh?
Narrates to his mother.
Yeah, he summarizes it quickly. Why does he have to do it quickly?
Because he only has 2 hours.
Okay.
He's going to lose the body.
He's going to die.
Yeah.
So again, if you came to this class and realized that you were going to die, it's going to be much more serious. Now serious. I was going over updating the notes on those chapters, and I was realizing this is identical situation with Socrates, right? Socrates is going to, the last dialogue is called the Phaedo. Many dialogues about what is ethics, what is morality. But the very last one is called the Phaedo. And it's worth reading. You're going to find a nice translation. Benjamin Jowett, very famous. Really old, but it's really nice translation. And you read that, it's just so many points about philosophical points that we're making. And this, in some ways, this is the foundation of Western philosophy. If you know this, pretty much people would have to accept you as a philosopher in the West, a Phaedo. And same thing. After this class, Socrates is going to die. Right? And so it's a very serious class like that. You can actually compare what his conclusion is, how he's looking at death, to Maharaj Parikshit situation like that. Yeah. And so that's these last 4 chapters. Maharaj Parikshit meets the age of Kali. He chastises him and gives him proper position. Everything's okay. But then, Krishna says, well, it's age of Kali has to come. It's necessary for some children. We got a fence around the backyard. Send them out there, the rascals, to play and bite each other and, fight over toys. And those who want to can stay inside. So Kali Yuga. So how does he arrange for the Kali Yuga to come? How does he eliminate Maharaj Parikshit?
He gave him some place to live.
But how does Krishna eliminate Maharaj Parikshit? Because Maharaj Parikshit is stopping the Kali Yuga, so Krishna has to get him out of there. He has him cursed.
Yeah,
he arranges for him to be cursed by this Brahmin boy and to die. So that means, okay, good. He'll get out and Kali Yuga can start. And also because the material nature is so attractive that even the pure devotee becomes a little bewildered by the whole place. So he arranges this to get him out like that. He's ready. As soon as he hears his death, he thinks, oh, okay, it's good. So he leaves his loving wife, his loving children, his loving subjects, his loving horse, everything, you know, walks away like that. And, you know, if you came to him, he sits down on the bank of the Ganges like that, ready to meet death. And if you came and said, oh, Maharaj Parikshit, your wife is working in a bar, your sons have all become selling marijuana, citizens are all falling into degradation, you must go and save them. He'd say, no. You know, Bhoktaram Yagatapashyam Sarva Suhridam Sarva Dehinam. The Bhagavad Gita, so the end of chapter 7.
Five.
So yeah, I'm the proprietor of everything. I'm the enjoyer of everything. This is common material consciousness. But the third one is actually very subtle, and that is I'm everybody's best friend. I have to take care of my little daughter. I was just attraction between father and daughter is the strongest connection in the material world. My friend Lakshminath, he said his girlfriend told him, his mother told her, when she was very little, like maybe like 5 years old, if you ever want anything from daddy really bad, you go sit on his lap and give him a big hug and a kiss and ask him for it and he'll give it to you. So a few days later she tried it, she got a puppy. She said she still used it until she was 18 years old. She was still using that. It always worked. Yeah. So father's attraction for daughter, maybe mother for son, but probably so specific, father attraction for daughter is the strongest attraction in the material world. You know? Because I have to protect her, right? I'm the supreme friend, right? Suhridama Sarvadehinam. So it's a very subtle thing to get free from. The Maharaj Parikshit realized that. He talks about that. You'll find that he talks about that. He realized, I'm not protecting these people. Krishna's protecting them. If he wants to empower me, okay. He's finished that, okay. So everything's okay, right? He's renounced everything. He's sitting there. No. He's still conscious of his body. Yeah? You may understand theoretically I'm not this body, and then you almost die, you know, and you realize I'm still, you know, conscious of my body. When I get hit by an automobile, or the airplane falls from the sky, or, you know, some maniac attacks me, or, you know. Prabhupada says that death is the sum total of all possible bad experiences. So think right now, what is the most horrible experience you could possibly think of? Being attacked by ravenous dogs, walking home late at night, ripped to pieces, being crushed under a streetcar.
Cobra.
You're afraid of cobras.
Yeah.
No, but you think about it. Yeah, there are things, right? Yeah. So death is worse than that.
Really?
Yeah. So therefore, the next thing is he has to become free from this consciousness of his body. Taking sannyas formally is very good. But then we have to come to this point of becoming free from the consciousness of the body. So that's ultimately why Srimad Bhagavatam is so great. Because not only gives you this formal sannyas, these kind of things, but also reawakens our ecstatic emotional relationship with Krishna. And Socrates comes to exactly the same conclusion. It's amazing. It's not enough to understand logically. You have to have a confidential relationship with God. And at that point, the material world is just a distraction. Like, it's just like, you know, it's like, but you're dying. I know I'm dying. I don't care. Yeah. You're being torn to pieces by ravenous dogs. You know, it's okay, let them eat. Krishna's, you know, by playing ping pong with Krishna. But, okay? So we just updated those. 16, 17, 19. And also, I updated because Canto 2. Go ahead. Canto 2, 1 to 3. And this is where Sukadeva Goswami actually presents Srimad Bhagavatam. It's complete. He says, okay, any questions? No. And that's it. But Maharaj Parikshit has questions. You know, so that leads to something else. And he has more questions. That leads to something else. And then, you know, Sukadeva Goswami explains something within here. So this way he goes to 18,000 verses to finally come to Krishna. Yeah. But these first three chapters, which is the next module, because we have about five groups studying like this. And the leader of all of them is Mother Rohini. She's in Peru. She's a university mathematics professor like that. And she's just Vritrahari. Vritrahari is a Mayavadi Brahmachari, very famous guy. He says, even Lord Brahma hesitates to put an obstacle in the path of a woman in the mode of passion. When some woman fixes her mind on something, she's going to do. Even Lord Brahma just stands back. So anyway, Mother Rohini's group, they're all women too. They're all like, you know, ahead of everybody else. I sent off the questions. And she's already got, you know, you're kind of thinking about, she's already got them, distributed them, and she's deciding, okay, this many points is beginner, this many points is intermediate, this many points is advanced, okay? Okay. But about 2 months ago, she fell flat on her kitchen of her living, her kitchen of her house, passed out from exhaustion. So, anyway, we may still catch up with her. She, you know, passes out again on the kitchen floor. As you go by. So, and also then I was talking to Nitai Gaurasundar, and he was rushing to get to their group. They started at 4 o'clock. Every Sunday at 4 o'clock, they have a program. And their arrangement is, if you're late for the first 15 minutes of five, it's a $5 fine. But after that, it's $10, like that, yeah, so on. So they're all, you know, professionals. But what they've done is it's just they've slowed down, and they're doing like, I think maybe what they're probably going to do is like one canto every month. So it takes them like 30 months to finish rather than 30 weeks. But I'm telling them it's better just to, you can do that. Okay, we'll try and we're going to help you, work with you. But our program is this, you know, one a week, and then we can all kind of stay together. And you don't have to read everything. You can just read the translations. Our notes are, I was just looking at the notes, they're very short, like that. And usually in every single one of my notes, I suggest one or two key verses. And there is, like in the end, there's a list of specifically of key verses. So just read translations, read, you know, one or two purports. Okay, come and discuss everything here. And the thing is to get knowledge, you know, because we're going to be doing this again. Take your notes, and then again, okay, again. So every time it becomes, you know, more profound, like that, yeah, more focused, like that.
Quite personal, eh? Unos preguntas. ¿Dónde está Jill Crota?
Any questions or comments? Yeah, yes, sir.
So, and what exactly was the conclusion that Socrates comes to in Plato?
Oh, okay. You have to read it.
yeah. See, what we're trying to do also is the idea is the first you tightly just go through, you kind of get your footing. You're just a new devotee. You try and pronounce the names. You know, read the biographies. And Prabhupada especially wrote these cantos for Westerners because they wouldn't know the history of the Mahabharata. That was his, aegis. That's what he's been given by Bhaktisiddhanta. Prabhupada, you're the guru of the whole world. No, I'm Western world. Man, I can do some things in India. Bhaktisiddhanta told me to do this. So he took it very seriously. It's my assignment. So then, in the purports, then you find so many biographies and things from the Mahabharata he wrote like that and so on, which is also good for anybody. So Socrates. Okay, so Socrates, he's giving almost all logical arguments and probably uses the same one. Socrates says, have you seen perfect beauty in this world? This is a Socratic method. Have you seen some perfect beauty in this world? Have you seen perfect truth and honor? No, everybody you think of is deviated a little bit, including yourself.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So where is this idea coming from? So Socrates, therefore, we can understand we must have lived someplace else before where we experienced these things. Right? That's his argument. And so Prabhupada says, if there is no God, then where from this idea of God is coming? So same argument. I think it's called the a priori argument. So he gives these different logical arguments, and you find them. They're universal. They're discussed universally in philosophy. And then finally, he says, okay, can I go now? I want to go. I want to take this poison and get out of here. You know? I can't commit suicide. That's not proper. But when the opportunity comes, Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, hey, this is nice. We can leave. You know? So his disciples say, well, they look at each other and they say, well, Socrates, you know, it's impossible for anybody to have any kind of logical complaints in your presence like that, right? It's impossible. You're so clear and you explain everything logically. But just like little children, you know, they're afraid in a strange house, and mother shows them there's no, in their aunt's house for the weekend. They go to bed, and the mother shows them there's no monsters under the bed, there's no monsters in the closet. But as soon as she goes out and closes the door, and they're alone in a strange room, they hear noises, and they think, there's monsters under the bed. You may remember this. You remember this? I had this experience, you know. Yeah. So they say, we're just like that. We're just like little children who we know is illogical. But still we have this fear that when we die, the soul will just evaporate. It's like water on the grass in the morning. Yeah? Like water evaporates when the sun comes up. So when Socrates says yes, you cannot fully arrive at full comprehension of the absolute truth just by reason and logic. You know? He says you must apply daily the words of the soothsayer, right? Self-realized soul. And there are many of them in Greece and surrounding countries, in Attica and surrounding countries like that. Yeah? So Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day we have to hear from a self-realized person. So we're hearing Prabhupada's purports, we're discussing them, and then this conviction's there, hearing his tapes. You know. If you go to prabhupadvani.org, you know, online, all the lectures, all the tapes are right there. You can, you know, listen to them, you can download them, you can read them. There's also a search engine, so you can look for specific phrases. It's the same. Very nice, at work or anyplace else. prabhupadvani.org, not .com.org. Very wonderful. Something we also, so it's okay? Yeah. So that's the same conclusion. Yeah. So something else we're also supporting with the Anjana Sudhi Academy is Srimad Bhagavatam Annual Review. 12 cantos, 12 months. So this is the third month of the Vaishnava year. So we're on the third canto. And so it forces me just to like, you know, what do I read? What do I do? Well, you get this system. Okay. So this year what I'm doing is I'm just listening to the lectures. I got 30 lectures, and so I can listen to those one a day. I'm halfway through the one today. I had to stop. I'm 10 minutes. I got to go back after everything. And the system is there, right? Yeah. And so I'll listen to those lectures on the third canto. They're very nice. I was explaining these things. He gives more details, other perspectives. So there's two things in study. One is a system. Okay. And what's his name? Who wrote the Sāga Goswami Asta?
Srinivas.
So he says, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natavi Kalavasane Kratau. Yeah. Kalavasane Kratau. Sankhya. They were dividing up their day in systematic hearing, chanting, right? Hearing, chanting, and dancing. Singing songs, praying holy names, and dancing like that. So they had a system. You know, Prabhupada also had a system. You know? Especially when he wasn't traveling. For example, in Vrindavan, he was very regulated. Traveling, you have to adjust. You know? But Vrindavan, the devotees said, every day he would leave for his walk at the same time. He would walk around a certain part of Vrindavan and come back. And he said he would come to some crossroads, some path, and maybe some other man coming every day, just, you know, maybe like 10 paces more behind or 10 paces ahead, but he would come. And every day, Prabhupada would say hello, Hare Krishna, and Jai Radhe. Other people had the same regulation. So you can schedule yourself right out of Krishna consciousness. Come on, schedule, you know. No, the first thing is to always remember Krishna and forget Krishna, right? But most cases, usually, God created the world so we can have a daily schedule, we can have an annual schedule, we can, you know, some kind of system. And again, people are different. You know, everybody got a different mentality. So I don't know, many years ago I started this thing. Because I think, what should I read? There's so many, you know, the Bhagavatam is so big. Okay, why not one canto a month? Yeah? And it goes around, 12 cantos, 12 months. And many times the festival days match up with the particular story. For example, I think Krishna. It's fanatic. It's Hindu fanatic.
Well, only once a day.
All right, nice. I'm going to pass.
Right. Hit the dirt once.
We'll say the first two cantos here. Yeah. So, schedule, right? So, Maharaj Bricket had his, probably had a regular schedule like that. And same thing, everybody has different kind of mentality, different nature. So I started this, many years ago. I don't know, maybe 20 years ago now. Yeah. And so there's 12 cantos, so 12 months in the Vaishnava year, right? And again, for example, many times you're reading the canto, you see it matches up with the holidays. You know, for example, third canto is about Varaha. And at the end of this month, we come to Varaha Dwadasi. The Shringa day matches up. The 10th canto, 10th month is Janmashtami, and 10th canto is about Krishna. Yeah, so maybe it was designed that way. Yeah. But for me, it's very good. It just kind of forces me to go on. Well, this month we're studying this, that. You know? So the 3rd canto is what I'm doing with that. You know? And after you finish the Padapama. So some system. My idea in this course is that's one of the most important things that people should get out of it. You know, it's not that you learn so much and then you hate, you know, there's this comment that sometimes the Bhakti Shastri courses, even the people organize, and they say after you study intensely for, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and afterwards you don't want to read Prabhupada's book for like, you know, 6 months afterwards, you don't want to read, you know. That shouldn't be the result. The result should be that after the course, you feel more enthusiastic to go on. So one thing is, out of this, you can develop some system, some plan for these first two cantos, right? For the rest of your life, for eternity, yeah. to advance. You know, Svayamana Krishna Padara Vindayor. The first thing that Maharaj Ambarish did was fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And he described his pastimes. He embraced his devotees. He washed his temple. He smelled flowers, and he engaged in all 9 processes. But the first thing was? Svayamana Krishna Padara Vindayor. So someplace, the Prabhupada says, this means to study the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again. Like that. Yeah. And if you want to go up to Krishna's lotus feet, you know, higher, then you've got to have like a, you know, firmer foundation. If you want to go even higher, right? A structural engineer here, you've got to have even a better foundation, right? Right? He knows that, right? So that if you want to go all the way to Rasa Lila, you've got to know Krishna's lotus feet like anything. Yeah. Prabhupada says that even the gopis, when they begin to think about Krishna, they start with his lotus feet. Yeah. Of course, their sentiments are different than ours are. They're, it's like, oh, Prabhu, the first two cantos. You're studying the first two cantos. Right, I'm studying. What did you learn? What have you seen? I love that verse. You know, they're ecstatic. Even Krishna's footprints, right? And the gopis, they see Krishna's footprints. They make a little temple around them, you know, a little fence, and, you know, cover it and protect it like that. You know, put flowers on it. You know. So his first two cantos, there's no limit. So some kind of process, system, calendar, plan. That's important. The second thing is, 2 things.
Seven.
Huh?
Reading Rupa.
Huh?
Reading Rupa.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. That's the subject of Nectar of Instruction. That's the subject of our whole thing. Process, you know, some might say sadhana and sangha. Yeah. And which is the most prominent? I won't say most important. Of those two, which is the most essential?
Sangha.
Yeah, because if you're associating with devotees, you're going to follow the process. Yeah. One time, Jayananda, great devotee of, you know, Krishna Prabhupada's, maybe Nityasiddha personality, he was talking to the brahmacharis, and he said, So, sleep in the brahmachari ashram and eat nothing but prasadam, and you'll have no problems. Sleep in the brahmachari ashram and eat prasadam and you'll have no problem. Yeah. So brahmachari ashram too. That's it. He said, Iskon is eating and sleeping in the best of company. So Iskon means eating and sleeping in the best of company. Eat prasadam and sleep in the Ramacharya ashram. Yeah, no problems. Okay, tell your wife. Yeah. It's for ladies too. Yeah, whatever, you know. There's an American folk song called I Wish I Was a Single Girl Again. Second July song, I Wish I Was a Single Girl Again. Yeah. Anyway, this is it, Sadhu Sangha. Yeah. And then the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. In the Bhagavad Gita, that means by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. But there, in other places, Prabhupada uses it as one's desires and ambitions develop from the company he keeps. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Right? So if you want to stop smoking, what's the best way to stop smoking? Yeah, associate. What is association? It's a science. What is association? Every word. What does association mean? Upadesham Rita. He explains. Yeah, giving and talking about things confidentially. You know, asking questions, giving and receiving gifts, very dear gifts, and food. So you see, every year at Christmas, for example, or Diwali or something, you invite your family members to pass the holidays with you. You say, I saw this hunting knife in the store today, and I thought this is just what I want to give to you. And it's very expensive, but here it is. You touched me very dearly, and thank you for the knife. It's such an expensive knife. So yeah, because a gift, Chanika Panda says there's no expression of affection like a gift. Yeah? Yeah. And the more someone looks at this and says wow, how'd you find this? I've been looking for this for years. Yeah, I saw it. But I thought of you, well, thank you. And that's, in your consciousness it changes, Wow, a whole pack of cigarettes. French cigarettes. Yeah, well, thank you. Fresh, too. So giving and receiving gifts, eating together, sharing food, and most important is this guyama kati prichati, talking about things confidentially. Well, is it true that Uncle Gupta and Auntie so and so are going to get a divorce? Well, I don't know, but cousin Rajini said, and don't say this, but this is how everybody, you develop the consciousness. So that way, if you're people who are smoking, if you start talking with people who are smoking, you want to smoke a cigarette after a few minutes. It's like, because they're in anxiety, they're worried and stuff, and it's just like, that kind of thing. So, then develop some kind of association, for your Krishna consciousness. You don't have to read books to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada gave a lecture and all this stuff, and he finished off, and he said, so. But if you think it is too much trouble to read books, then just chant Hare Krishna and take Bhagavad Prasadam, and you will become perfect. Nothing else needs to be done. No other thing. Just chant Hare Krishna and take Prasadam. So I always have to remember that. That's the basis. I mean, if you're reading Prabhupada's books and not chanting your rounds, then that's so good. Yeah. Yeah, books are basically, every page probably says, chant Hare Krishna, find a spiritual master, become a devotee. That's the whole conclusion of all these things. There are many mantras, but there's one Maha Mantra. Yeah. Someone asks you, do you know Sanskrit? You say, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Do you know Sanskrit? You say, oh, well, not like that. Oh. Do you know that? That's meaningless. You can memorize all these rules and regulations and be, big wine drinking, rascal. They're good like that. They're big Sanskritist whose character is abominable in different countries. So much logic. Bhajagovinda. Sampate. Yes, just worship Govinda. Just worship Govinda. Just worship Govinda. all you stupid software engineers, all your conditional if statements and endless do loops will not save you the time of death. But Yamaraj, I have an endless do loop. Yes, how's it go? How's it go? Backslash, 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 escape, escape. That's my program for immortality. Backslash, backslash, escape, escape. Yeah. Yes, sir. You have some comments or questions?
Yes,
yes. So you want to go over one chapter specifically or something? Or okay, we just kind of finished chapter 15, right?
Yeah.
What is that? That's the Pandavas retire time. Now Maharaj Parikit's all alone. It's been some time, I guess. I don't know how long it's been. I mean, before Maharaj Parikit takes over, obviously it's about 25 years. From the time Krishna left Dwarka, he takes over. And Maharaj Yudhishthira established him as the king. So after the Pandavas departed, it doesn't say how long he was ruling before Kali Yuga. He had children, though. I guess they were grown up, right?
Janmajaya.
Janmajaya was grown up and married?
I don't know about married, but they were grown up.
I think he was married, even. Yeah, which would have been 25 more years. After, Yudhishthira would have established him as king as soon as he could. It probably says this is the thing, as soon as there's some young fellow who has half a brain in his head, okay, you're GBC secretary, you're temple president, Haribol. You're king, you're emperor. They didn't, Prabhupada said they didn't stay around like old fossils, old fossil dinosaurs, and imagining without me it won't go on. It's got, somebody reached like 25, he became Yuvaraj, and maybe 30, became king. Like that. And then the person could retire. I think Dasarath, as soon as he saw one gray hair, he said, quitting time. It's a very progressive thing. So sometime in Maharaj Parikit, he was traveling all over his kingdom. And as Prabhupada says, the king shouldn't sit tight in his capital. He should get out there and go everywhere and see what's happening. And then he came across what? What did he encounter? Not yet. Chapter 16.
Oh, 16.
Yeah, it's almost there. Yeah, was it the earth in the form of a cow? And religion in the form of a bull. We're having a conversation. And very nice, And the bull was pushing along on two legs, right?
One.
Oh, okay. And what is that one leg?
Truthfulness.
Yeah. And that's what science is based on, right? I mean, if you're caught cheating as a scientist, you're finished.
Yeah,
you can't get a job again. I mean, you get a job as a data entry operator or something. Charles Townes made this point. Nobel laureate, people say science is free from ethics or morality. He said, but truth is a very ethical principle. But that's the last one. Is there mercy in science? Is there cleanliness in science? Is there austerity in science? Well, no, but there's truth. And even that is trembling. So Maharaj Parikit saw this, and it was distasteful to him these things were happening. But on the other hand, it also gave him a chance to, for a good fight like that, which Kshatriya is always happy, that opportunity. So then Dharma and Dharani, they're having this discussion. He's asking her, why are you unhappy? What are these symptoms? In Kali Yuga, and then she's describing Krishna. There's so many qualities he has like that. Very nice. And then when this discussion is going on, the Maharaj Parikit shows up, and there's this Shudra fellow. Kali is a personality. He's a demigod, devata. In different places he shows up, also in the higher planetary systems and different things like that. And I guess each yuga is a personified person. So at one point he became angry at somebody and was trying to curse them. I guess what was the guy who was taught gambling? Maharaj Nala. It was Nala. He got after him as a person. So Kali is a person. He's a devata, some celestial person, but bad character. So he was attacking the bull. And then what happened? What did Maharaj Pariksha do?
Chastised.
Huh?
Chastised.
Yeah, he told him, you know, he said, I'm going to kill you for doing this to a bull. But before that, he wanted a complaint. So he asked Dharma, he said, who did this to you? Who's caused this to you? Who did it? So what did Dharma say? What will Dharma say? It's kind of an overview, preview.
The demons.
No. He said, well, how can I blame anybody? Right?
Reaction.
Yeah, it's my own, whatever's happening to me bad, I have to accept that God's controlling everything. So this is, you know, my injustice. So Maharaj Purkhit says, bo. He said, oh, you're not a bull.
Bo or fee?
Huh? Bo.
Bo or fee?
I don't know, bo. You're not a bull. You're Dharma personified. Someone to think like this is so elevated. But you rascal, colleague, you know. So King can keep his broad perspective, but he also has to come back down to practical reality, to Madhyamadhikari level. So he was ready to kill Kali, but then Kali at that point, the Prabhupada said, this is the kings of the modern age, they have big dress and everything else, but when challenged by a real Kshatriya, one person said that Muslims were coming door to door, temple to temple in Delhi, and smashing deities in temples, Hindu deities, a gang. So he said, Prabhupada was there in Chopadi. Chopadi? No, where is it? Chibiwada. And when they came to that temple, when Prabhupada was there, and the pujaris and the people inside the temple were just terrified, they're going to run away. But he said, Prabhupada went out and stood in the doorway with about 10 guys there, this gang of Muslims with a stick in his hand. He said, you come to break my deities? Come on. Come on. he was like, and they all ran away. Yeah, he was just, you know, he's 15 people, probably just, you know, terrified. So, you know, a real Kshatriya, when he challenges these artificial guys, they all just, you know, so Kali surrendered to Maharaj Pariksit, and then what happened?
Yeah,
Maharaj Pariksit smiled. And why was he smiling? Because he knew that even the gods in heaven, if he was after them, couldn't escape. But this rascal, because he surrendered, he's safe.
Yeah.
He's safe now. Idiot. Okay. Yeah. But you can't stay where there is?
Huh?
You cannot stay where there is. You must stay where there is.
Yeah. Oh, you must stay where there is. Prostitution, intoxication, gambling. Avarice.
Yeah. Not avarice. We can get to that one, yeah.
Money.
Not yet. That wasn't there. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. So you'll find that verse in there, a nice purport. Kali said, but hey, look, it's not going on any place in your kingdom. So just kill me now, you know. Give me one place reasonable where I can stay. So then he said, okay, you can stay where?
Gold.
Yeah. And that hoarding of gold, excessive hoarding of gold, it's kind of the point. Because when it's not too much, and especially when it's being used properly, then Kali also can't stay. Prabhupada says there should be a limit on the quantity of gold for each person, you know, for ladies, for ornaments. By quantity, but not by quality. And so everybody, you know, every lady get a maximum of 1 pound or something. I don't know, 1 pound or 5 pounds of gold, you know. But somebody can have very finely decorated, and somebody else. It's very interesting. It's very specific. But there should be a limit. And this will stop, and there should be gold coins. In Mexico, they're just about ready to pass the silver standard. Yeah, I don't know what that'll do in terms of the U.S. economy. They're going to start going back to forget the paper money. And maybe it's really just about that far away. And what that'll do in terms of the world economy, is God only knows. But people probably want to stop and put pressure on them not to do it, because that makes then no falsification. One silver coin. So then the gold probably says that Kali became gold standardized. Kali became gold standardized. There's a very famous speech, William Jennings Bryan. He's a big politician, you know, guy, and they were trying to go on the, what is it? Forcing the cross of gold. They were trying to crucify mankind on the cross. It was gold, the gold standard. They were trying to standardize the money, and it's really a powerful speech about how to go on. The humblest citizen in all the land when clad in the armor of a righteous cause, is greater than all the host of errors. So I stand against this gold standard and tell you, you shall not push down upon the brow of labor this crown of thorns. You shall not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold. But he was fighting the gold standard, and they did it. So, very practical. This chapter 17 is extremely practical. Extremely. You know, gold standard, the four principles, detailed explanations, a manifesto for administration, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, specific symptoms. One time we were looking at a project in Mayapur, and every single symptom of Kali Yuga was present in the project. Yeah. And it was like on and on. So where there's excessive hoarding of gold, more than you need, and Papa says the sannyasis and the kshatriyas, they can engage it properly for sankirtan, where there's excess, and everything will be okay. And the actual cause of Kali Yuga will become his damnation when it's used like that. And then everything's okay, under control. But then to get him off the scene, then Maharaj Parikha becomes overly this. It's impossible. He becomes anxiety because he's thirsty. He's used to having people shoot arrows to his body. He's not going to lose control of his mind because he has thirsty. You know. So he did that, and he insulted the insult to Samiki? Samika? And then his son, Shringi, who was an arrogant Brahmin boy, said, "You see my power," and cursed him. Yeah. He took it as a good thing. Yeah, his Christian's arrangement, very nice in many ways, many aspects. So finally then, he's ready. He's sitting, standing there. And some people say, do this. You should do hatha yoga, you know. Some people say you should do what? You know. Some people say you should, you know, study philosophy, Vedanta Sutra. And somebody else says you should give charity. And somebody else says you should visit all the amusement parks in the world before you die. Drink your best liquor, and so all these different ideas are there. But then at that point, Sukadeva Goswami shows up. Just 16 years old, in the prime of his youth. He looked like this kind of very attractive, you know, chanting, street guy. And so all these people, women, children were following him, like, it's, you know, so amusing. But then they saw all the greatest people in the world were bowing down to him, so they like, retired. You know. So he said, you should talk about these things. Almost everybody paid their obeisances to him except for Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, Brahma was there. They were all there, and they gave blessings. Says he exchanged handshakes with equals, paid his obeisances to superiors, and received blessings from his juniors. And he sat down, ready to answer any question like that. Lord Chaitanya goes and says, "Hey, this is how it is." Right? He's aggressive, but Krishna's pastimes. You have to, make the questions like that. And just trying to solve your anxiety. Yeah. And he asked, what is the question he asked? One question, two parts.
What should a man do at the end of his life?
Yeah, what is the duty of a man, unconditioned duty of a man during his life, and especially at the moment of death? And probably said this is more or less the basis of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And so then, the son of Sukadeva was the powerful son of Vyasadeva. Then began to reply. Canto 2. So in Canto 2 we're ready. What's he going to say? What's the first thing he says? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So his class starts like, I offer my respects to the Supreme Lord, all-pervasive son of Vasudeva. Like that. And then a very nice, very nice Bhagavatam. So the more you go around through this, the more it just fills your heart. And Krishna will supply everything, right? If we're engaged in hearing and chanting all the time, Krishna will supply the food, Krishna will supply the house. You'll be able to, Prabhupada says, money will be at your fingers' end. It's coming, money, that's my management. People will respect your preaching. Right? He said, by following these principles of Bhagavatam, you can become a creature like Narada Muni. And your guitar. That's going everywhere, singing Narayana, Narayana. In Hindi, we'll be trying Narayana, Narayana. So, any final comment or question? We went to the temple for the great Kirtan, Artik. I guess we'll be coming back in about after this class is finished, theoretically, in April. And every it's just like, you know, the third time we've done this. First time it's accredited, and our sponsor, San Marcos University, is they're kind of laughing and saying, "Boy, it's going to be a lot of work." So it's basically saying 3 years before you have like a functioning distance learning program. About 3 years to get it going, functioning. But the thing is that everybody's group, Bolivia, Peru, North America, Mexico, everybody is like satisfied. Our basic thing is just read one chapter a week. Look at it how as much as you can, and then kind of meet and discuss it. And that's all there is to this course, nothing else. And then you discover, wow, it's kind of like, you know, the person who's selling the drugs. This first one's for free. Just read the book. No problem. You know? They discover, wow, I can't stop. You know, I'm addictive. I'll never do this ever again. Reading again. So now we're going to go in the class, then we'll do like a summary of the first two candles, like that over.
Is this part of the Bhakti Vaibhava?
Technically speaking, it's going to be integrated. It could be integrated in. The Bhakti Vaibhava degree is the first six candles. I would get it at one time. So this, you know, is your Kandam, kind of work with this gone, larger is gone, to make sure it's acceptable. But already, people already stolen the name, part of
my name. We also have two PowerPoint shows, which are starting to also now.